To join me in the book of Proverbs, and today we are going to be in chapter 2. If you're unfamiliar with Proverbs, it's in the Old Testament, and it immediately follows the book of Psalms, which tends to be kind of one of the easier ones to follow. If you just kind of flip through, there's, you know, a bazillion Psalms, it seems like. So Psalms and then the book of Proverbs, and today we are going to be in chapter 2. Well, it's good to be back this morning. As many of you know, Angela and I took a few weeks of vacation, so it was a great time of relaxing, seeing some family and friends. We had some friends come into the Wisconsin Dells and celebrate my 40th birthday with me, so that was fun. And while I was there, I learned something about myself, and that is I am an axe-throwing champion. So I'm just saying, I'm pretty good with an axe. That's it. That's all I'm saying. We're actually walking down the road, and it was like, throw axes. And we're like, that sounds like a good idea. You know, we have a 10-year-old kid, like, let's do that. And the guy's like, sure, he can do it. And I won. So I'm just throwing that out there. I'm not saying that I bought a little axe and hung it in my car as a trophy. But I bought a little axe and hung it in my car as a trophy. So it's actually Thor's axe, too, so that makes it even cooler. But no, it's good to be back. But it was also good. It's good to have some vacation and to be able to kind of refresh. You know, it was interesting why we were, it was kind of comical, why we were at the Dells. You know, you see lots of different things, and that place is a complete tourist trap, right? I mean, you're walking down the road, and it's like they're just trying to get your money. Well, while we were walking along, in front of a store, they had a Zoltar. Do you guys remember this thing? Have you ever seen the movie Big back in the 80s with Tom Hanks? Remember Zoltar? So they had a Zoltar sitting in front of the store. And for those of you, if you don't know Zoltar, it's, again, think tourist trap. But what you do is you go up and you stick a dollar in it, and Zoltar spits you out like this wisdom for life, right? He kind of like this slash fortune slash, you know, do these things and you'll have a great life. Think of it this way. It's like a mechanical fortune cookie, right? I mean, that's kind of what Zoltar is, but with a really creepy face. Now, when I seen Zoltar immediately, right, I went back to being a kid watching Big in the 80s, right? So I'm like cracking up, and I've told the kids about, we've seen one before, so the kids knew what it was, and they're like, oh, it's Zoltar, right? And we're laughing. And, you know, I'm kind of looking at it, and I'm like, man, and the kids are like, oh, we got to get, you know, put the money in and stuff. I'm like, you guys, we're not wasting money on Zoltar, right? This, it's a game. It's fake. It doesn't work, right? When we kind of just laughed about it. But I don't know. Maybe it's just because I'm a pastor, but it got me thinking. We're like walking around the street, and I'm thinking about it and about how we have this natural kind of, if you will, a pull towards that kind of stuff. Meaning this, we have a pull to kind of, something inside of us wants, it wants wisdom, it wants guidance, it wants these words to speak into our life to help guide us. Think about it. Right? You go to your local bookstore, and one of the largest section there is self-help books. Think about people who search out the best gurus in life to try to get insight, or people who maybe even, you know, go as far as going to like a fortune teller or reading their horoscopes. But there's something inside of us that desires these keys, these bits of wisdom. It's the reason why when we see a Zoltar, sometimes we're tempted like, let's see what Zoltar has to say. Yes, on one hand, it's a joke, the Zoltar is. But on another hand, it feeds something inside of us. This desire for wisdom. This desire to learn so we can make good and healthy decisions in life. We know the scriptures teach us that God doesn't want us to be dumping money into the Zoltars of the world, are going after the latest guru or the newest latest book on the New York Times bestseller. And we're actually commanded not to seek out fortune tellers and things of those sorts. But what God wants us to do is God wants us to go to him to discover that wisdom. God wants us to pursue him. And the avenue in which he has done that, or which he has given us to do that, is right here. He's given us his word so we could discover that thing that we all crave, that desire for wisdom, that desire for guidance, so we can make good and healthy decisions in life, so we can know, right, that our life has purpose and meaning and that we're living it to the fullest. Well, you know, one of the books in the Bible is the book of Proverbs. And the book of Proverbs really is centered on giving us this wisdom, of giving us or equipping us to successfully navigate this life. Listen to how this book opens. Chapter 1, verse 1. It says, "These are the wise sayings of Solomon, David's son, Israel's king, written down so we will know how to live well and right, to understand what life means and where it's going, a manual for living, for learning what's right and just and fair." You know, the reason why God gave us this book, the book of Proverbs, is to help us live the life that we were created for. That desire inside of us, how do I do this? How do I navigate this life? I need someone to speak into my life. I need guidance. I need wisdom, right? We all have this. God wants to meet that need with this very book that we're studying here at Trinity. Well, I know that as I've been away for a few weeks on vacation, it's been a couple weeks, but if you were with us, if you think back into July time, we kicked off this series, Words of Wisdom, in which we began to discover this guidance, these words of wisdom, these guidelines for our life. And we discovered, first and foremost, where wisdom comes from. And we don't have time to kind of unpack everything, so you can go online, you can listen to those on our website, trcwapan.com, if you missed anything. But together, we've already discovered where wisdom comes from. And then from there, the importance of guarding ourselves against unhealthy influences. Right? So we're talking about how do we navigate life. So we've already discovered, God said, like, this is where you gain wisdom. He shared with us what that is. He then said, we have to be careful because there's going to be influences that would try to lead us away from wisdom, that would try to lead us on the wrong path. And we got to be careful about that. And we got to be able to tell the difference between what's healthy and what's not. Well, now today, the Lord will take us on the next step. And he'll reveal to us that which should be the pursuit of our lives. And we find it in Proverbs chapter 2, starting in verse 1. Let me read it for you. It says, "My son, if you receive my words and treasure up my commandments with you, making your ear attentive to wisdom and inclining your heart to understanding. Yes, if you..." Microphone down. "Yes, if you call out for insight and raise your voice for understanding, if you seek it out like silver and search for it as for hidden treasure, then you will understand the fear of the Lord and find the knowledge of God." Let me ask you guys a question. How many of you have ever had a goal in which required hard work to obtain, or set a goal in which it was difficult to reach that goal? Has anyone ever done that? Give me an example. What are some of the things that you've set a goal that was difficult to reach? You guys raised your hands. College degree. All right, so mission, losing weight. Anyone else? riding 50 miles on a bike. Wow. Now, see, when I hear that, when I hear those things, what I hear is all of us understand what it takes to be determined to reach a difficult goal. Right? We know that it takes dedication. We know that it takes repeatedly, maybe even when we don't feel like it, willing to engage it because we have a goal in mind. Here in the second chapter of Proverbs, what God wants us to understand here is that the depth of our relationship with the Lord is a reflection of the amount of effort we put into seeking God. Let me say that again. I want to make sure that we're all following. What Proverbs 2, 1 through 5 is trying to show to us is that the depth of our relationship with God is a reflection of the amount of hard work we're willing to put in to seeking God. My guess is if we went around the room, most of us would say this: I desire a deep and a rich relationship with the Lord. I want to hear from God. I want to know God. I want to experience God in my life. But here's the reality. Just like bicycling 50 miles, stacking wood, getting a college degree, losing weight, just as those things don't just happen, that deep and that rich relationship with the Lord doesn't just happen. We don't just come into saving faith and then instantaneously we know everything about God and our life is just full and rich of all of His blessings. No. If we want that, we have to seek after it, which means we have to be willing to pursue God, pursue Him at all times. Pursue Him even sometimes when we don't even feel like it. Listen to what Jeremiah chapter 29 says. The prophet writes, and he says, "You will seek me and find me when you seek me with all your heart." When you seek me with all your heart. You and I were created to have a rich and flourishing relationship with the Lord. That's what we were created for. If you go to the very beginning of Scripture, before what we call the fall, before creation became broken, before sin entered, what you'll find is that mankind was created to know God intimately, to experience His blessings, to know Him at a deep and a personal level. But sin has caused separation. Now, Christ has come back to redeem us, but we still live in a broken world and broken bodies. And if we want to experience the depth of the relationship God created us for, we have to pursue Him. We have to pursue Him. Yet, sadly, many who profess to know Jesus will settle for knowing facts about Him instead of actually knowing Him. Let me give you an example. When I was 13 years old, when I was 13 years old, I began playing guitar. So my dad signed me up or had me call the local music store, and I started taking guitar lessons. And as I got into guitar, my mom introduced me to a gentleman named Stevie Ray Vaughan. How many guys, anyone here know who Stevie Ray Vaughan is? Stevie Ray Vaughan is one of my all-time favorite guitar players. So he is mind-blowing, amazing. He passed away in 1990 in a helicopter crash. But my mom seen him in concert just before he passed away. So she, introduced me to him, and I started listening to his music. So, all my friends, so this is, early 90s, right? They're, out listening to, Metallica, the Black Album. I'm listening to Stevie Ray, which may be why I was really uncool. Maybe why my friends didn't relate to me. But I fell in love with his music. To this day, I still listen to his music all the time. I started reading about Stevie. I got books so I could learn his songs on guitar. I've bought DVDs and played them in slow motion to try to figure out how he could play the way that he played. Maybe Keith knows that. I'm trying to, right? You get a guitar idol and you're just like, oh man, how does he do that? I know a lot of stuff about Stevie Ray. It was funny. Keith went to Austin, Texas earlier this year. He came back. My one question was, did you go to the Stevie Ray Memorial? When you were there, did you do that? I love Stevie Ray, and I know a lot about him. I can play some of his songs on guitar. Not well, but I can play some of them. But you know what? I don't have a relationship with Stevie Ray. I can sit down and play some of his music. I can tell you facts about his life. I can name all of his songs that come, they don't really come on the radio anymore, but right, you put on a CD. But I don't know what it's like to sit down and play guitar with him. I don't know what it's like to have a conversation with him. I don't know what it's like to sit down and learn things from him face to face. You see, those things are part of a relationship. I fear that many of us, when I say that, I mean the church globally, especially here in America, that we settle for knowing things about God instead of having a relationship with him. We can say things like, well, God's holy. We can even say things that are orthodox, like God is triune, which means he's three in one, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. But we're not living in relationship with him, in which he is guiding and molding our life, in which his word is cultivating in us a new heart that leads us to live more like Jesus. God doesn't want us to list facts about him. Right? He wants us to know him. And if we want that in our lives, then we have to be willing to pursue the Lord. Because it isn't going to just happen. That's why Solomon writes that we're to seek after God. We're to seek after him like he's silver or a hidden treasure. Imagine this. What if at the end of this service I told you this? Hey guys, heads up, before you go home, I've hidden a bag in this church with $1 million in it. How many of you guys would go look for that bag? Three, really? You are Dutch people. Don't tell me. Three of you. You would do it if there's $50 in it. Come on. Three. Oh no, I don't want $1 million. I'm going to go to Steak and Shake. All right. I'll pray for you for lying. So, right, here's the reality. If you said, wow, there's seriously $1 million hidden somewhere in this church, my guess is if you went and started looking, after 20 minutes, you wouldn't just give up. My guess is even after an hour, you probably wouldn't give up. Matter of fact, if it was 3 days from now and the bag still hadn't been found, you still wouldn't give up. You would look for it because you'd be thinking, wow, what I could do with that $1 million. What my life would be like if I had that $1 million. Solomon says we should feel that same way about the Lord. If I had more of Jesus in my life, what my life would be like. If I could hear a little clearer from the Lord, what my life would be like. Man, if God would fill me more with his Spirit so I could follow him and be used by him, man, what the world would be like. God wants us to pursue him like he is a treasure. He is a treasure. To pursue him with the same passion that we would that bag of money. To value him above all else. And if you caught what Solomon said, he said this, that when we do that, when we pursue, we find. Now, that was always kind of strange to me. remember when I first became a Christian and I started hearing people say things like, you got to pursue the Lord, you got to seek after God. If you seek after him, you find him. And in my head, I was always going like, is God hiding? Like, what's going on here? Like, is that way he, like, is he trying to, you know, like, he doesn't want me to have something? No, God's not hiding in the sense that he's trying to keep something from us. But he has chosen to partially hide in the sense of to test us, to see if we really value him above all else. Will we pursue him? Again, he's not hiding going, I don't want Keith to have this, so I'm going to hide it from him, this blessing. But he will choose not to reveal things to test us, to see if we will pursue him. And here's the good news. If we will pursue him, we will find him. I kind of think of it this way. Have you guys ever played hide-and-go-seek with a toddler? You ever do that? So when it's your turn to hide, what do? Right? You hide in the most obvious place possible. Do you not? Either that, you guys are just mean. Like, if you're trying to pull one over on a toddler, I'm just saying, I'll pray for you. But think about it, right? If you were here, or, you know, if you go home, I remember when my kids were young and when they would play hide and seek, right? And they were like, all right, I'm going to count. And so they would count, and I would, like, hide behind the couch with my legs sticking out, right? So they would walk in the room, and it's like couch, Brent legs, right? We hide in the most obvious spot because our goal isn't to keep ourselves from them, right? It's to engage together in this activity. And that's what God does. God hides in places that are very easy to find. Matter of fact, he's actually told us where we can find him. Right here in this book. Everything that we want to know about God, we can find right here if we're willing to pursue him. If we're willing to put in the effort, if we're willing to put in the time, we can find everything we want to know right here. But God wants us to do that. He wants us to pursue him. That's why Solomon says, right, that we have to make our ears attentive and our hearts inclined, which means this. I want to kind of break those two down for you really quickly here. First and foremost, our ears attentive. We have to open ourselves to truly hear what God is saying, which is different than hearing what we want God to say, and it's different than what we wish God said or says. We have to be open to hearing what he says. Not what we want, not what we desire, but what does God say about this subject? What does God say about this matter? What is God's will on this? We got to open ourselves to that. And then we got to incline our heart, which means this. We have to open our heart to be transformed by what we hear. Now, when the scripture talks about heart, it's not talking about that organ literally in the middle of our chest here. What it's talking about is a combination of our minds, our way of thinking, and our emotions. Because see, how we think and how we feel, true, that directs our actions, right? What we think and what we feel directs our actions. And that's what God wants to transform. God wants to transform our minds, the way that we think, the way that we feel, to transform how we live. That's what it means to be a Christian. To pursue the Lord and to allow God to come into our lives in such a way that begins to mold us and shape us, to transform us to be more like Jesus. It's not about listing facts. We can do that all day long. God wants us to know him. God wants us to be transformed by him. God wants us to start looking more like him. Now, along the journey, we will have ups and downs. And my guess is that there's some of us here, maybe right now, who are feeling convicted, going, you know, I can list things about God, but I don't know that my life's really being transformed by him. Or maybe you're saying, you know, I know God, I hear God's word, but sometimes I ignore it. I don't follow it. I reject it. I want to encourage you that today can be a turning point. Today can be a day where you go before the Lord and you repent, which means this, acknowledging, God, I know, I recognize I'm not doing things your way. And I'm asking for your forgiveness. And I'm turning from that. That's literally the word repent means to turn. God, I'm turning from that. And I want your spirit, your word, to transform my life. And I want to start being more like you. God's grace is bigger than any sin we've ever committed. God's grace is bigger than any time that we've rejected him. If today we'll turn to him and we'll surrender our life. But let me say this. The proof that we are seeking God is a transformed life. And again, it's a journey. It's a journey with ups and downs. But it is a transformed life. Jesus said it this way, you'll know a tree by its fruit. Not by its label, not the other trees that it's around, not what it wants to be called, but by the fruit that grows on it. And yes, sometimes there's some bad fruit because we're broken and we're human and we need God's grace. But there should be good fruit too. And the goal is that as we continue to move forward, there'll be more and more good fruit. The fruit of being more like Jesus. So my prayer for you today, on my first Sunday back, is that you will pursue Jesus. Not check off boxes, not list facts, but that you will pursue him like a treasure. And then as you pursue him above all else, that your life will bear the fruit, that you have made your ear attentive and your heart inclined to him. Let me pray for you. Heavenly Father, Lord, we give you thanks today for your love and your mercy. Father, I give you thanks that you've given us your word so that way we could know you and that way we could hear from you. God, that you haven't left us on our own to figure things out, but you've spoken to us through your word. Father, help us to see our relationship with you as a true treasure. Lord, with so many things in this life and in this world trying to steal our attention and trying to lead us in many different directions, God, help us to be mindful each and every day that the treasure is you. Lord, put a desire in our heart to pursue after you. And Lord, as we do, I pray that you'll do the work of transforming us. God, that you'll mold us, that you'll shape us, that you'll teach us about the life that we were created for. And Lord, that you'll help us to live it. And Father, I pray that if there's anyone here this morning who maybe they've been doing the church thing, maybe they know a lot about you, but they don't really have a relationship with you, that Lord, that today would be that day that they would turn from their former life, and Lord, that they would put their trust in Jesus, and they would receive, Jesus, your grace, and today would be the day that this new life would start of following you, seeking you, and being transformed by you. And Lord, I thank you that as we pursue you, when we fall and when we stumble, God, that you give us the grace to forgive us and to put us back on our feet. Jesus, we pray this all in your holy name. Amen.